الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إنني من المسلمين. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Salat and salam, salutations and durood upon our master Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is with a great and a very, very sad heart, a heavy heart, that we take this opportunity on this auspicious occasion of Jumu'ah to beg of Allah Ta'ala's mercy. First and foremost, to make tawbah in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each and every one of us. And to beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala bring good conditions in the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are well aware of the conditions that our Muslim brothers and sisters are facing in the different parts of the world, in Myanmar, in Burma, etc., whatever the case may be, in Sham, in Palestine, in all the different parts of the world. And it is their right that we feel their pain. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, Al-Muslimu ka jasadin wahid. He has equated the Muslims to be like one body. And he gives such an amazing example. Really, if you analyze and you look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jawami'ul Kareem. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say few words, few sentences, voluminous in meaning. And every example, if you look in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, really, sometimes your mind cannot understand the in-depth knowledge that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. One statement that he would make, look at how beautifully he brings it in front of us for every mind, every human mind, every person with a heart to understand what message Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving us. It says that the Muslims is like one body. In ishtaka aynuhu ishtaka kullu. When there's a problem with the eye, the entire body is... So you have a problem with your eye, somebody tell you, eat something. You say, I don't eat with my eye spinning. You don't eat with your eye. But the little bit of taklif in the eye, it's caused difficulty for your whole body. You can't eat also properly. Somebody will say, Mona, you should have an eye ache all of the time. It'll be better for you. Khair. Be that as it may. But that is the example that Rasulullah SAW has given us. He says, if somebody has a headache, then the headache is such that it causes pain to the entire body. So, this is something that should cause pain in our hearts. And we should make dua, really, in whichever way we can help, aid and assist, whether it's to send money across or whatever the case is. But more importantly, we should make dua that Allah Ta'ala bring good conditions, wherever the Muslims are in the world. And more important than that, is for every one of us to take ibrah, for every one of us to take a lesson, and understand that this life of ours is very, very short. And every moment that we have, this is a gift from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day our death also has to come. That's a reality. How it will come, when it will come, where it will come, that is in the knowledge alone of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah Pak keep every one of us with iman. May Allah Ta'ala take us with iman, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah with iman. Alhamdulillah, we are well aware that inshaAllah in our province of KwaZulu-Natal on the 23rd, the 24th and 25th of September, the Ijtima will be taking place. So alhamdulillah, today in Durban, many of the ulama from Pietermaritzburg have come, and we have come to give dawah to the brothers and sisters, to the brothers, etc. We've come to give dawah to the brothers to attend the Ijtima, inshallah, that will be taking place on the 23rd, 24th and 25th of September here in Overport. But more importantly, respected brothers and elders, let us understand what is Ijtima. What is it all about? What is the need for it? What is the importance of it in my life? Forget about anybody else in my own life. First and foremost, the aim and the objective of Ijtima, or any dini program for that matter, whether it's even a simple tafsir, tafsir can never be simple, but any program that takes place in the masjid as well, is first and foremost for me to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For me to recognize who my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. And this is the purpose of our creation. Allah has created each and every one of us with a reason. And the reason is for us to connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His mercy, Allah has sent many, many Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. Approximately 124,000 Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. The exact figure Allah alone knows. They have come to this world. And every one of them came with the same purpose that how he can connect mankind to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And practical examples in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we find Ijtima is there that how we can use this platform, how we can use this gathering as a means of me connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Me getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sitting in the gatherings, listening about Allah, listening about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my life becoming better. Me changing my life. Because the reality is this, brothers. We live our entire life for one moment. Remember this. If you don't remember anything else that I say in today's talk, remember this one important point. That we live our entire life for one moment. That moment is known as Husnul Khatima. That when the last moment of our life, the last words, when we leave this world, that Allah must take us with Iman. Because nobody got any guarantees. Nobody got any guarantees. No matter how inverted a person feels, pious he may be. No matter what his position may be, no matter how much tahajjud he's reading, no matter whatever he's doing, but guarantee nobody got. That only Allah Ta'ala alone knows. So every person has to live in this thirst, and has to live in this desire, and has to live in this worry and this concern, that, oh Allah, when that moment comes, let that moment come on Iman. That last few seconds, that last few moment of my life, let it be ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. So our entire life, we are living for that one moment. May Allah bless us all with husnul khatima. May Allah Ta'ala give us such a life, that we live our life in such a way that when that angel of death comes to take our life, then naturally, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu will come out of our lips. So, the objective of this ijtima is to connect us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every person to have this concern, for a person to have a worry, every person has to have this concern, that what is my relationship with my creator? How much closer am I getting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And we find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very, very practical in this regard. See, when you study a person's life, when you study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then if you look at his personal and his family life, if you look at his life, really, the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, something to marvel about, that his private life and his public life was just the same. This excellent characteristics that you'll find in the public life, we found it in the private life as well. But when you look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interacted with his family in particular, so you find, we are saying that the person has to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look how those who were close to him, those who came into contact with him, even at a young age, famous hadith, we all know the hadith, we heard it many times. This is Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, 13-year-old youngster, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes permission from him. And he says, oh young boy, oh young lad, can I give you some advice, something for us to think about today, that even when you want to advise somebody, the manner in which you do it is important. So he says to him, can I give you some advice? He says, please, O Nabi of Allah, give me the advice. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains to him. He says that, O young lad, that احفظِ اللَّهَ يحفظك. Remember, if you protect the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will protect you. If you protect the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of you. And he's explaining to him, so he's connecting him at a young age, 13 years of age. But look at the profound statements that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is making to this 13-year-old. What is he actually doing? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is connecting him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That from a young age, this heart, this mind, this soul needs to understand, I need to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says to him, O Ibn Abbas, remember, إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. When you have any need, then you ask that need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you have any difficulty and you need any aid, any assistance, then first seek your assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look how profound, look how deep Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what a beautiful thing he teaches to a young person, to a 13-year-old, he says to him, that if the entire world has to gather, if the entire world has to gather to try and harm you in any way, then they cannot harm you in any way, except to that degree and that amount that Allah has ordained. And if they try to help you and assist you in any way also, so help, aid and assistance, insan can't give it to us. Harm, insan can't give it to us. Everything is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I want to give you an example. for us to understand the level that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to connect people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, once there was some difficulty in the home. So he says to his wife, Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, that Fatima, go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and request some help and assistance from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to this hadith carefully, brothers. Many points we can learn from here. So Hazrat Fatima radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she comes to the home of her father. What does she do? She knocks on the door. When she knocks on the door, look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's frame of mind. Today we say we're very busy, we've got a lot of work to do. I'm running a multi-million rand, billion rand corporation. I can't think of anything else. Just leave me, I've got no time. From the knock on the door, what a statement he makes. Umm Ayman is present with him. Umm Ayman is a person whose name was Barakat. Barakat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have to know who this person is. Because she was special to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if she's special to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she's special to us. That is a demand of Iman. That which made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy has to make us happy. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refer to her as Ummi, Hada Ummi, this is my mother. So, he says to Umm Ayman, Inna Hada la daqqu Fatima. Umm Ayman, that is the knock of my daughter Fatima. Umm Ayman, that is the knock of my daughter Fatima. Now remember, who is this? Sayyidul Kawnaini wa Thaqalain. Who is this? Tajdar Madina Sarkari Du'alam sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest of mankind. The best of Allah's creation. Who today can say is more busier than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who had more responsibilities than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such frame of mind. Such concern he had for individuals. Such concern he had for people. From the knock on the door, he could see who was visiting him. So he knocks, from the knock on the door, he says to Umm Ayman, that is the knock of my Fatima. I take it one step further. He says, Umm Ayman, Fatima has come at a time that she doesn't usually come. Something's not right. So he even knew the schedule of his daughter Fatima radiallahu ta'ala. He even knew that for her to be out at this time, only she's busy, she has her chores, whatever the case is. Anyway, she comes into the home. And when you look at this father and daughter relationship, really, brothers, you'll be marveled. Other riwayat mentioned when Hazrat Fatima would visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would welcome her, he would kiss her on the forehead, he would get up from his seat, he would make her sit on his place, etc. Anyway, she comes into the home, and she very lovingly addresses her father. She says, Oh my father, hadha tahmid wa tahleel wa takbir, هذا طعام الملائكة فماذا طعامنا? So my father, this Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, this is the food of the Malaika that fills their bellies. But what are we going to eat? When we eat food, when we say Subhanallah, it's not going to fill our belly. How are we going to make the day? Even to ponder, brothers, for a moment at the response of Rasulullah Sallam. If it was us, and your daughter comes with a claim like that to your home, what will be your response? Where is that husband of yours? Doesn't he know whose daughter he's married to? Can't he think? Can't he provide? No. The response of our master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, Oh my beloved daughter, 1 month has passed. Deen hasn't come to us easy, brothers. All this beautiful masajid we sing, beautiful deen in front of, hasn't come to us easy. He said to her, Fatima, 1 month has passed and the fire hasn't been lit in the home of your father. So that hunger that you are suffering, I'm experiencing the same hunger. I'm going through the same difficulty. And then see what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does. Again I'm saying, the objective of our life, our reason for living, is to recognize and connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says to her, Oh Fatima, if you want, the king of Fidak has sent me some goats, I can give it to you. But better than that, I teach you 5 kalimat. Allamani Jibra'il. Jibra'il has taught me 5 kalimat. I teach you these 5 kalimat. You make dua. You take your attention and you turn it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You ask your need from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the provider. Ya awwal al-awwaleen. ويا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين ويا أرحم الراحمين. She becomes so happy. She becomes so elated. She says, oh my father, I'll take these 5 kalimat. She comes home. She meets with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says to Fatima, it seems as if though today this is the greatest day of your life. I haven't seen you so happy before. She says, oh my husband, I went for my deen. I went for my dunya. I came back with my akhirat. Oh my husband, I went for my dunya. I came back with my akhirat. So this is the first thing, brothers. When we will connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when deen will come in our life, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come into our life, then every aspect of our life will fall into place. The next aspect is this, to bring into our life, to bring tawbah, to make tawbah, to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when a person will come onto istighfar, when a person will come onto tawbah, man lazim al istighfar, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli diqin makhraja, wa min kulli hammin faraja, wa razaqahu min haythu la yahtasib. Every one of us has faults. Some of us have more faults than the next. But if every person will turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every person will beg of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then we will enjoy good conditions from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That person who holds firm, he continuously makes istighfar, he makes tawbah, he makes a mistake, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He makes a mistake, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, from every difficulty that he has, Allah will remove it. Allah will take him away from this difficulty. Allah will create an opening for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him sustenance from avenues where his mind could not fathom. The third aspect that I want to speak about, brothers, is this. It is an opportunity for us to bring complete deen in our lives. Not just part and portion of our deen. So first is, ijtima is an opportunity for us to gain the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To gain the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the entire ummah, to bring the entire ummah and every person onto tawbah. Every person to turn his life around. And every person to understand that there is a direction that I have to head. There's a way which I have to head. There's a direction in which I am going. And one day I have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one day I have to give an account. The third aspect, beloved friends, is to bring complete deen alive. That every aspect of our deen. And if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an embodiment of akhlaq. He was an embodiment of every part of Quran. As Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked, she said, explain to us about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, kana khunuquhu al-Quran. If you want to know who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, then read the Quran Sharif. And this is an exceptional feature in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he displayed such character. And if you have to take aspects from the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's many things we can speak about. But for today, just one important aspect. And that was his concern that he had for humanity. And this is what ijtima is about, to create this in our hearts. You see, brothers, when a person connects to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he gains the ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that ma'rifat demands that when he tastes that, when he gets the taste, and he gets the sweetness of being connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he'll have the desire that every person must taste that. And every person must know how beautiful it is. And every person must know what enjoyment a person gets from being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu went to such extent, he went to such an extent that those who caused him the greatest harm, when it came to this aspect that they must take benefit and they must get deen, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam displayed such character that till this day, mankind has not seen any person and will never see also a person with the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's many incidents I can give you. I want to give you one particular incident. Concern for humanity and the desire for every person to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and every person to have deen. The conquest of Makkah takes place. Fath Makkah takes place. Famous incident. We all know about it. It takes place in Makkah. It takes place in the month of Ramadan. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the 8th year of the Hijri, after 13 years of persecution in Makkah Mukarramah, 8 years living in Medina Munawwara, now Allah ta'ala has opened up the doors and Makkah is going to be conquered. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes with an army of 10,000. And they march onto Makkatul Mukarramah. And when they're entering Makkatul Mukarramah, it's a famous and long incident. I'm just giving you a few snippets about it. And I'm coming to a point which you will appreciate When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters Makkatul Mukarramah, remember he's coming in as a conqueror. He's coming in as a conqueror. These were the very same people who prior to 13 years of persecution that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through and the 8 years of Madinah Munawwara, the people of Makkah were the very same people who were responsible for driving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam out of Makkatul Mukarramah. Remember when he made hijrat, we speak of hijrat, we all know, every one of us, in our weak state, when we are leaving Makkah Mukarramah, person goes for Hajj, the Hujjaj have come back now, Allah grant every person Hajj Maqbool, Hajj Mabroor. Any person who's left Makkah Mukarramah will be able to tell you that you sometimes cannot explain to a person that pain and that difficulty that you feel, because the concern and the worry is that, oh Allah, firstly, maybe I haven't fulfilled, or most definitely I haven't fulfilled the right of the place, but I don't know if I'll get an opportunity to come back and make tawaf of the Baytullah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is leaving Makkah Mukarramah. In the seerah, books of seerah, it is written, so he comes to a point and he looks at Makkah Mukarramah. And he addresses Makkah and he says, O Makkah, inni uhibbuk. O Makkah, indeed I love you. And O Makkah, if it was not for my people who are driving me out of Makkah, then I would never ever leave you. And on that pain that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was experiencing, Allah revealed the verses, inna alladhi farad alayka al-Qur'an naradduka ila ma'ad. That Allah that has revealed Qur'an to you, Allah Ta'ala will bring you back to Makkatul Mukarramah. So he comes back to Makkah Mukarramah and he comes back as a conqueror. But when he comes back as a conqueror, firstly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives the people of Makkah. As he enters Makkah, one person makes a statement and he says, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of revenge. Today we are going to lift the sanctity of the Haram. And today we are going to show the Quraysh of Makkah who we really are. Nabi sallam said, no. Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of mercy. Today Allah is going to give izzat and Allah is going to give honor to the people of Quraysh, to the people of Makkah Mukarramah. So there were many people who did many crimes. And they had to state their crime and there was general amnesty that was given from the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there were those people who had to state their crime and accordingly Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will decide whether they will be forgiven or whether there will be a penalty or there will be punishment or whatever the case may be. So amongst these people was a person, and this is the point I want you to understand, the level that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went for the hidayat of the next person. And how every one of us have to have that same thirst and the same desire that how I can get hidayat, how I can be guided, and how every person can be guided, and every person can get hidayat, and every person can taste from that fountain of the marifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Deen is not only for me, deen is not only for the masjid. Deen is for each and every person to come till the day of Qiyamah. And this responsibility is the responsibility of each and every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every person who's a reciter of Kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, he has a responsibility that how I can bring deen in my life, how I can be a means of deen coming alive in the life of my family, in the life of my friends, in the life of my community, in the life of my locality, etc. So see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's thirst and see his concern for humanity. And see, he is concerned for the hidayat of one person, for the hidayat of one single individual. Forget about a community and forget about a locality. And this is the example that we take from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the beauty of our deen. This is the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That when he advocated something, he went through with it. He said something, he advocated it, and he practiced on it to the T. He said, "Silman qata'ak wa afu amman zalamak wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk." He said that forgive those who harm you, join ties who break off ties with you. And do good to those who oppress you, you treat them with kindness. So one person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Habar bin Aswad. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Siratul Mustafa, it's mentioned in there. When Idris Khan Delvi rahimahullah makes mention of this incident. So Habar bin Aswad, he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, O Nabi of Allah, I was fleeing. I was running away from Makkah. I didn't want to have anything to do with you, nor did I have anything to do with, did I want to have anything to do with Islam. But the thought came into my mind as I was running away that you are Rahmatul Lil Alameen. You are a very merciful person. And there's no person more merciful than you. And I want to state before you today my crime. I want to tell you what I did. Today, brothers, when we harbor enmity in our hearts for one another, listen to this incident very carefully. He said, I want to tell you about my crime. He says, I am responsible. I am that person. When your daughter Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha was leaving Makkah Mukarramah, when she was making hijrat, I am the person who took the spear and poked it into her body. And a result of that, she falls off the conveyance. And a result of that, some riwayat say that she was expecting and she loses the child also. And a result of that same wound, she passes away and Nabi Sassam has to bury her and he's burying his daughter. And tears are coming down his eyes. And he makes dua and he says, oh Allah, make the maghfirat of my Zainab. Because my daughter has given a lot because of me. He says, I am that same person who is responsible for poking the spear into your daughter Zainab. He says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I bring iman on you. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. Today when a father can't tolerate his own brother telling his children something. Forget his own brother, sometimes we can't tolerate our own spouse telling our children anything. Brother don't want to look at brother, sister don't look. That is the condition of the ummah. People who are bosom friends, people who lived their entire life together, today won't make salam to one another. Brothers, sisters, friends, years and years together, small things, don't want to meet one another, don't want to make salam, don't want to know one another. The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, he said to him, O Habar, al-Islamu yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam has wiped out whatever has happened in the past. Go, you also for divorce. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah. That one person must get hidayat. That man who killed his daughter, that man who was responsible for the death of his daughter. And he's confessing, openly confessing. The right was there as a father to take the retribution. The right was there as a Nabi. But he had a bigger picture in front of him. That hidayat and iman and Islam is for every person. So this responsibility, brothers, has to come into our hearts as well. Deen is for us. Deen is for every person. It's not only for an elite group of people or for a small. No, every person. We have to have that thirst and that worry and that concern that how every person can become deeni. Every person can become namazi. Every person can become da'i. Every person can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when deen will come alive, when deen comes alive and every person comes on deen, then good conditions come from the sky. And I will end with one incident. I'll end with one incident, which is great food for thought. And every one of us has this desire. Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Sassam is sending him to Yemen. And the advice that Nabi Sassam gives him, this is an advice for all of us. So when he's leaving, Nabi Sassam is walking him out of Madinah Munawwara. And he says to him, now to understand the impact of this advice and this conversation, Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that sahabi who holds this accolade and he has this, so to say, that Nabi Sassam said to him, O Mu'adh, inni uhibbuk. That one statement that Nabi Sassam said to him, brothers, we will give our entire wealth, whatever we own, buildings and whatever, just for that one moment and that one statement, that O Mu'adh, indeed I love you. Nabi Sassam is walking him out of Madinah Munawwara. And he says to him, O Mu'adh, it's possible when you come back to Madinah Munawwara, you won't find me, but you'll pass by my qabr. So the riwayat says they both burst out crying. Imagine the closeness of the relationship. And to console Mu'adh ibn Jabal and to console the entire ummah, Rasulullah SAW made a beautiful statement to him. He said, O Mu'adh, inna awla an-nasi bi al-muttaqun man kanu wa haythu kanu. Sir Mu'adh, indeed the closest people to me are those who have taqwa. Whoever they are and wherever they are. So this is the objective of Ijtima, my beloved friends. How all these great qualities can come alive in the entire ummah. So every one of us take this responsibility, inshallah, to try and attend the Ijtima and invite one person. Invite a person. We don't know. You don't know who you'll tell. That person's life will change. That person will come there. He'll see that beautiful environment. He'll take part in the programs. His life will change. And all that reward. It's not so much about reward. That's all in its place. But the world will become a better place, inshallah. So we're all going to try this. Try and invite for the Ijtima. Whoever we meet, whenever we get the opportunity, and make dua for the success of the Ijtima, make dua for the entire ummah, and request our women folk at home as well to make dua. That Allah make this Ijtima a success. Allah give us all.